to this episode of Dead America. I'm Ed Waters, your host, and today we are going to look back at the late 1950s at a propaganda film put out by the CIA titled Communist Propaganda. And we're going to break it down as we listen. And it makes us wonder a little bit more about today's circumstances that we live in. Also, I want to make sure you understand you can go over to Anchor and listen to our Free Circle Freedoms podcast. It's an Anchor exclusive, and I need you to go over there and check it out if you are into freedom. Today, after I do this episode, I'm going to go do a bonus episode talking about the incident that happened in Aurora, Colorado with the United States flag. You may want to go check that out. So let's get into this week's episode of Dead America, Communist Propaganda, brought to you by the CIA, courtesy of the National Archives on YouTube. You can find all of the information that we are sharing on our website, deadamerica.website, and check out under Communist Propaganda episode of our podcast. Let's get into this week's episode.
Gentlemen, as you know, Mr. Allen has been in the thick of the Cold War since its very beginning. You're familiar with his very distinguished record as a career diplomat and troubleshooter, but just for the record, let me recall a few of its high spots. Four times in critical periods, he was assigned to frontline ambassadorial posts in Iran, Yugoslavia, India, and Greece. He has been Assistant Secretary of State for the Near East, South Asia, and Africa. In 1948, when Congress decided we ought to have an overseas information program on a more or less permanent basis, Mr. Allen was put in charge. Last fall, the President decided that this important activity needed Mr. Allen again. He brought him home from overseas and made him director of the United States Information Agency. Mr. Allen attends the meetings of the Cabinet and the National Security Council. Mr. Allen, why is it that everything the other side says is propaganda while we call what we say information?
Lindley, the word propaganda has taken on a very bad connotation. It was originally a perfectly good word, but it brings to people's minds now the idea of twisting or distorting the truth or even manufacturing complete falsehoods. Whereas we try in our service, our output, to give as straight the factual presentation as we can. We feel that that is information and should be labeled that, not called propaganda.
I wonder if you could give us an example of Soviet propaganda, particularly as applied to the armed services, which these gentlemen represent.
Well, I had today with me a book that the Soviet government puts out in its, for its training course of the armed services of the Soviet Union. The book is called Marxist-Leninism on War and the Army. I'll just read you one description of the way it talks about American army officers. It said, U.S. armed service officers are corrupt, weak, run by Wall Street, and, quote, professional robbers, end quote. Well, I call that propaganda.
Well, Mr. Allen, that applies to all officers of the armed forces. Do you have a comparable piece of Soviet propaganda that applies specifically to the Army?
Well, I'd like to show you on that a film of the meeting of the American and the Soviet armed forces at the Elbe, the River Elbe, at the end of the last war. And you'll see how the Soviet government and their information service presents this meeting of the two armies. Could we have the film?
I did edit this section out because you need to see the visualized experience on this section. Please refer to deadamerica.website and the video will be attached to the section below the audio clip under this episode. Let's carry on.
Mr. Allen, what do the communists have to say concerning our Air Force?
I'd like for you to listen to a broadcast from Moscow on that subject, which talks about the psychoneurotic American pilots. Could we have that soundtrack?
You are tuned to Radio Moscow, broadcasting in the 16, 19, and 25 meter bands in the shortwave, and in the medium on 216.6 meters. An Associated Press dispatch tells us that an American Sabre jet accidentally dropped some rockets over Florida. The population has been alerted and warned of the serious danger. This brought to mind a secret report of Dr. Frank Berry, medical assistant to the Secretary of Defense, which made me doubt that the rocket fall was the result of an accident.
I do find that statement rather odd, and you will find a few other statements within this audio rather interesting. Let's continue listening.
This report gives us every ground for questioning the possibility of accidents in general, since it claims that approximately 70% of the officers and enlisted men of the Air Force are psychoneurotic. What is more, checks have shown that the state of affairs is especially critical among the airmen doing steady nuclear patrol.
What are they saying about the United States Navy?
And the Marine Corps?
I've got a copy here of the Soviet newspaper that's published for their Navy called the Sovietsky Float, Soviet Fleet, May 18th of this year. Speaks about what's going on in the Mediterranean. Says, referring to the United States, over Lebanon hangs the real threat of military intervention by the imperialist states led by the United States. He says, the American command has doubled the landing forces attached to the Sixth Fleet. That's the Marine complement with the ships. The imperialists are openly brandishing weapons, threatening Lebanon. But no matter how much the colonizers try, they cannot intimidate the people of the Near and Middle East, and in particular the Lebanese people, who have set on the road of defending the freedom and independence of their country. That's typical of the type of statements that the Soviets are making about the United States Navy and the Marine Corps, tools of imperialists, colonizers, Wall Street, so forth.
Mr. Allen, don't the Soviets in their propaganda attempt to show also that Americans are opposed to all the colored races?
Yes, I do. I've seen that particularly when I was serving in the Far East and in India. They try to make it appear that the Americans are the most race-conscious people in the world. Actually, the experience of people in that part of the world dealing with Americans is the best way to counteract that. When our naval ships or our armed services units are stationed in those parts of the world, the integration that takes place in our armed services is the most useful way to combat that type of Soviet propaganda. Also, last fall we had a magnificent experience when Marian Anderson went out through the Far East and India making her
appearances as an American and speaking to the people about the racial questions in the United States as an American Negro was an excellent counterweight to that Soviet propaganda.
I believe that Soviet film, Meeting on the Elbe, has a sequence charging us with racial discrimination and, in fact, fierce racial hatred. It might be interesting to take a look at that.
Please refer to the film below the audio file at deadamerica.website under this episode title. We have edited this portion out also because you need to visualize the experience of it. Thank you.
Mr. Allen, the communist propaganda system, its organization, it appears to me that this must involve quite an elaborate chain of command, if I may use that term.
I'll draw your attention to this chart here. The Soviet government has gone all out for propaganda. That is, very recently we've seen how they've written several letters, Khrushchev or Bulganin, to President Eisenhower. The letters are addressed on the envelope to the President of the United States, but what they are really intended to are the, all the world, just for propaganda purposes, not as a solid, a serious document from one government to another. Now, the Soviet government is headed by the Party Presidium. That's just a small group of people in Moscow who run the 200 million people of the Soviet Union in their hands. There are two elements, the government and the party machine. Those are quite separate. The government is merely a bureaucracy. The party machine really has the power. They use all the means of communications and contacts with foreign people to spread their propaganda. Just take, for example, radio. The Soviet government, every week, in some 50 foreign languages, sends out 2,300 hours of broadcast beamed towards foreign countries in foreign languages. You say, how can you do 2,300 hours in 1 week? It means in each language they do so many hours, and if you multiply that, the number of hours, by the number of languages, 2,300 a week in broadcasts. They have mass books and publications which they send abroad in various foreign languages. Interestingly enough, many of those books and publications that they use in the Near East and the Far East and South Asia, India and those countries, are in English, because that's the best language to reach the intelligent public in those countries.
It's the best way to reach the intelligent public in those communities. Interesting wording.
They use films. They use exchanges, that is, exchange of visits. They bring large numbers of Indians or Egyptians or Chinese or Greeks, or anybody else they can get to the Soviet Union, give them tours around the Soviet Union, send them to universities in the Soviet Union. Great party congresses of the communist parties in all the countries, they call together and have big meetings in Moscow. Going back just for a minute for exchanges, the Soviet Union put on one stunt last summer in which they spent more money than the entire United States government does on all of its information and cultural relations work for a whole year. For 1 month in Moscow, the Soviet Union had 50,000 students from all over the world brought to the Soviet Union for the great youth festival that we hear about.
We have edited this portion out also because you need to get the visual effect. Find the video at deadamerica.website under this episode title.
Mr. Allen, what percentage of the people who attend these festivals that you mentioned are communists?
Well, we don't have any exact figures on that, but the best we can calculate, of the 50,000 that went to the Soviet Youth Festival last summer, we estimate that about half of them were non-communists. That is perhaps 25,000. I was in Greece at the time myself, and I know that I think there were about 200 Greek young people went to the Soviet Union for that festival. And many of them were just going for the ride or wanted to get the trip. It was a chance to go and see the Soviet Union. And as long as the Soviet government will pay all expenses, actually, in that case, the Soviet government took a young man from Greece, took him to the Soviet Union, kept him there for a month in good hotels, accommodations, food, all expenses, traveling around the Soviet Union, took them to the very finest theatrical performances, the ballet and the symphony orchestra and the opera and so forth, and back to Greece, all for the equivalent of $50. Also, they act through international fronts, that is, youth organizations, college students around the world, or labor organizations that don't admit that they are communists, but are infiltrated and run by the hardcore of communists in those organizations. And through those means, they throw out their propaganda into the non-communist world. As an example of the way they do, in a totalitarian state such as the Soviet Union, they have complete control of all their means of communications. And they can say one thing in the Soviet Union and entirely a different thing outside the Soviet Union or even to different countries outside the Soviet Union in the language of those countries. As an example, take recently.
With everything that's going on currently in our world today, I want you to pay very close attention to the next statement and a little bit beyond that.
When there was a threat of an attack on Syria, the Syrians claimed that there was a threat of an attack by Turkey. The Soviet Union was saying to the Syrians, you are being threatened by the Turks. They were saying that in broadcast in the Syrian language to the Syrians. To the Turks, though, in the Turkish language, they were saying to the Turkish people, the Americans are in there forcing you and using you as tools to attack the Syrians. You can tell an entirely different story in different countries without any hesitation. I've got a chart here that shows the way the Soviet Union parcels out its radio broadcasting in these many languages in order to get as much of a varied effect as they can. For example, in the lower part of the chart, it shows how much broadcasting the Soviet Union does overseas to foreign countries. That's 900 hours a week. This, incidentally, is the Voice of America broadcast, is 730 hours a week altogether to the world.
Another moment just to pause there, because currently there is a organization going under that exact name, which is a global organization of media content, and it's called Voice of America. Google that and check that out, and go and look at everything that Voice of America is covering. I'm just putting it out there. I want you to go see what you think. Let's carry on.
This is the Soviet broadcast just to foreign countries, not in the Russian language, but in foreign languages. These are the broadcasts by the European satellite states, that is, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Bulgaria, Romania, and so forth. They do about the same amount altogether as the Soviet Union does. These 317 hours are done by Communist China. Then 125 hours each week are done by the Far East orbit. That means to say North Korea and North Vietnam. And then there's 108 hours now
being done by various clandestine radio stations, broadcasters, who are situated in one place or another claiming that they are, for example, the South Korean broadcast. They're actually broadcasting from North Korea, but announcing that they are a South Korean broadcast. That's where the clandestine comes in. So you see that the Soviet Union uses all the satellite countries to do broadcasting outside the communist orbit, as well as the Soviet broadcasts themselves.
Mr. Allen, I wonder if you can amplify what you said about the Soviet distribution of magazines and books abroad. I've seen some very startling figures on that. Do you happen to have them in mind?
Well, I have some figures about the publication of the magazines. They are putting out 85 periodicals in 30 different languages. That periodical means magazines and quarterly reviews and things of that sort. As far as books are concerned, last year they poured 100 million books into the free world.
They usually sell at very low prices.
Yes, usually, or they give them away.
Stalin, I wonder if you would discuss, first, the main propaganda themes of the communists today, sir.
I have a chart here, which I'll show you on that. These are just taken five sample propaganda themes of the Soviet Union. One of them is that it's the United States that puts up the Iron Curtains, while the Soviet Union seeks closer relations with everybody, that we are the people who have the real Iron Curtain, and they just want to embrace the world.
It's interesting how we all want a wall here in America now. Just think about the statement that was just brought up by the CIA back in the 50s. Think about that wall a little bit, and I just want you to be clear in your head about putting up walls. I don't necessarily disagree, but I don't know if I agree either. That's my input on that subject. But it's interesting, this propaganda, communist propaganda that was put out back in the 50s, talking about the wall or the Iron Curtain. Let's carry on.
Secondly, they're constantly saying that that the United States is a warmongering country, that we want to bring about a world war, whereas the Soviet Union peace seeks peace and disarmament. They say that United States capitalism can no longer compete with progress under Soviet socialism, that they're going ahead of us in production. They also say that the communist countries will surpass the United States and its allies in growth and strength, and also that the United States is fighting a losing battle to maintain its colonialist hold on the new countries of Asia and Africa. That we are the imperialists and we are trying to dominate those countries, but their national spirit will survive.
Mr. Allen, these are all examples of communist propaganda successes. Aren't there some things which they can't cover up even with their highly touted propaganda?
Yes, lots of them. For example, just very recently we've seen the very bad effect on the Soviet public relations posture in all countries, particularly in Europe and the United States, by the execution of the former Prime Minister of Hungary, Nagy. There have been tremendous demonstrations now in Paris and London and Bonn and other places by socialist and left-wing fellow traveler people who are terribly annoyed against the Soviet Union because of the execution of Nagy, and there's nothing that their propaganda line can do about it. They've just lost a great deal of support.
Okay, boys and girls, heads up, open your ears, listen to the next part right here. Do we understand? Do you need a break? pause it right now, go get some popcorn, or use the urinal, whatever you have to do. But definitely, pay attention to the next part here. Let's carry on.
Stalin, aren't the communists using film a lot in this propaganda field?
Yes, they are. Both documentary type of films and entertainment films. And in the entertainment film field, they have recently been very active. As a matter of fact, very recently, they won an international award at Cannes in France. The film was called The 41st.
Oh, yes, I've heard about that film. I believe it's about the girl who's a Red Army sniper and the boy who's a White Russian officer. They're shipwrecked and fall in love. But they have a quarrel over communism, and that proves fatal. Let's see what happens in this communist love story.
I really do feel that it is important that you go watch this section of the video and understand, just because of time restraint, we're going to skip to the end of this story where the prisoner that this little Soviet gal is holding actually starts to try to escape and she shoots him. Go over deadamerica.website and watch the video released back in the 50s by the CIA on communist propaganda. It is a very interesting film, and I do highly recommend you go watch it in its entirety. Let's carry on with the rest of the story now.
Vietnam! They're gone! Hey there! Hooray! Here! Come on! Hey!
First victim of her rifle, and the title of the picture.
The number 41 has a lot of significance here. If you do your own studying and homework, what was actually going on in the CIA around the end of the 1950s and going on into the 1960s. 41. It means something. And way back then they knew it meant something. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it makes me wonder.
Mr. Allen, how can we compete with this communist propaganda in view of the fact that the communists can resort to any deceit, whereas we have to stick to the truth?
I think, first and foremost, that we should do more of what we've just been doing this afternoon. That is, we should recognize Soviet propaganda when...
You should recognize any propaganda from whoever is throwing out the propaganda.
We see it or hear it. Sometimes it's very subtle, and sometimes it's in a disguised form. But most Americans don't realize how much of it is being put out or what it is when they see it. Now,
bingo! It is time to really pay attention. This is the big moment that you've all been waiting for. This is the reasoning behind us listening to communist propaganda presented by the CIA back in the end of the 1950s. Now pay attention. Put away the popcorn and the soda. Turn up the earbuds a little bit. And let's get into this next section.
Secondly, we must do more ourselves. That is, more counter-propaganda and more presenting the story of the United States and the American way of life and the democratic principles that we stand for. We are doing a great deal. This afternoon, we've only considered what the Soviets are doing in this field, but I haven't talked about what we are doing and don't think we've been holding our hands and doing nothing. We haven't done as much as we should because we Americans are not inclined very much in the propaganda field, but we've realized that it now has to be done, and we are doing more of it.
Now, did you catch what they just said? I want you to very carefully, if you need to, rewind and replay, but understand what was just said there about initiating propaganda in many forms. Let's also rewind back to the clip about Voice of America. And remember to go Google Voice of America and see what they're talking about around the world and in the places that they are talking about it. Understand, be very vigilant on what you read, hear, and understand how to sort it all out. Be careful out there, people. Just pay attention.
But thirdly, and perhaps more important, we should do everything we can to deprive the communists of fertile ground in which to plant their propaganda. Now that means, as far as government is concerned, that government should follow policies which make the United States admired and respected and liked as much as we can. I know that there are many cases in which we can't please everybody. Quite true. But our policy should have a public relations aspect to them and should win friends.
Just noting right there, that was a pretty odd statement, wasn't it? Or was it odd? I don't know. Back in the late 50s, they were talking some things that just makes you wonder now.
But more than that, each of us individual Americans should behave, act, when we are dealing with foreigners, in a way that makes foreigners like us as individual Americans and respect us. And then these signs like Yankee Go Home, they'll continue. But they won't have fertile ground, they won't catch on if all of us Americans, civilian and military, behave in the way that we should.
Thank you very much, Mr. Allen, for this very interesting discussion.
And that's the end of this audio presentation of a look back at communist propaganda put out by the CIA and archived at the National Archives. You can find it on YouTube or deadamerica.website. Check it out, share, like, subscribe to the podcast, and join us next week when we dive into the next archived video. Thanks for joining us.